The views and opinions expressed by hosts, invited speakers, and callers do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the Black Talk Media Project or the Black Talk Radio Network.
Welcome in to the Lotus Place tonight. It is March the 9th, 2016, Wednesday night, and tonight it's What's on Your Mind line. So we have our lines open for you to call in and share what's on your mind, what's going on in your world, your community, what's happening with you, your life, hot news topics, the Black vote. Primaries took place last night. Very interesting, according to what the political pundits are saying in terms of Bernie Sanders winning Michigan. As I looked at the map, of course, Hillary Clinton won Detroit and Flint, so she won Wayne County, Genesee County, where Flint is. I think it was one more county she won, but for the most part, Bernie Sanders swooped Michigan and won. Very surprising for many people. So we want to talk about the Black vote. Who's going after the Black vote? How are you voting? Are you still a Clintonite? Do you love the Clintons? You still voting for Hillary? Will you vote for Hillary? Will you vote for Bernie Sanders? Will you vote for somebody in the Green Party? Will you just not vote? Are you just tired of voting? So we want to hear from you on that. There was another decision with the Romali Graham case. The cop that chased Romali Graham into his home and shot him in front of, I believe it was his grandmother, in Romali Graham's bathroom. He will not be charged, and I am not surprised. So we have quite a few topics to speak on. Also, of course, we can always talk about money, love, sex, and relationships. The Democratic debate is on tonight. Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders going at it as usual. To me, really saying the same thing over and over. But nevertheless, politics is a circle, is a circus. It's all theatrics, especially and particularly when it comes to the presidential election. That's just in my humble opinion. So we welcome you to call in and share your thoughts. The call-in number is 641-715-3660, and the participant code is 54903. To press pound and press star 61 if you would like to share a comment. And speaking of comments, we have Dale Cougar on the line that will bring us our hot topics. How are you, Dale Cougar?
Fine, fine. How everybody doing tonight?
I was just saying, all is well, all is well. What's going on in Mississippi? We see Trump won Mississippi and Hillary won Mississippi last night. So did you get out and vote for Hillary?
Yes, I got out and voted. And, you know, I told y'all the other day I voted for the Donald.
Oh, you voted for Donald?
Yeah.
You better quit. You voted for Donald. You voted for Donald Trump.
Yeah, I promise.
Oh, that's right. You said you like Donald Trump.
Well, now I told y'all I like some of the things he said. some of the things he said I like.
Like what?
Well, when he said he wanted, I'm not a racist, but when he said he wanted to ban the Muslims from coming over and trying to blow up our country, and then when he said that he wanted to, like, stop the legal immigrants, you know, and he said illegal immigrants are taking our jobs and stuff like that. And that's what I'm talking about.
Interesting. Now, I just have a different perspective on that, but I respect that because I feel like there are a lot of people, like I believe Donald Trump's grandfather, I think they were illegal immigrants. They weren't over here.
Okay.
They weren't.
I'm sure.
Uh-huh.
I don't mean to. Can Kenta get in?
If he calls in, he certainly can get in.
Okay, because he keeps trying to send me something. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Call
sorry.
In and, yeah, we'll open up his mic.
Okay. Okay. But, no, but really I voted for him really truly because they have a strategy going around. And the strategy is let Trump get in because the people are saying that he cannot beat Hillary. And they were saying put Trump and Hillary together. And that's the strategy they got going around.
So King B, Delta voted for Trump in the primary.
You're lying. Stop it. My heart can't take it.
Yours. I'm glad I've been practicing my yoga, honey, so at least my heart is a little stronger. Else I would have probably had a heart attack, too.
In the name of Jesus and the ancestors, Lord, touch her heart right now.
Please,
touch her mind.
Touch her heart, her mind.
Touch
I was
her
just
mind.
About to say touch her heart and her mind, Lord.
But let me tell you.
May the
answer be. Y'all, but listen, let me tell you why I done that. Now, y'all got to listen why I done that.
No,
yes. Hear me out.
Let's listen.
This is why I done it. Because the black people say they have a strategy going around, and the girl told me about the strategy.
Wait
and
a
she
minute,
said
so
the strategy.
Who told you about the strategy?
It's a black girl that I know. She said a lot of the black people are deliberately going and voting for Trump because they want him to go up against Hillary because they did a survey and Cruz and to beat Hillary. So they saying if you put Donald Trump up against her, she will win. And because and the people say, why you want Hillary? That's the lesser of two evils because really they all are evil. Ain't none of them really gonna be for us.
But why do we gotta vote for evil anyway? Especially you Christians that go to church.
Well, don't vote for neither one.
Well,
what
do
we say? If we don't vote for neither one of them,
that's what
you're what are we gonna do?
Against evil. Wicked place, people in wicked places and. Some old stuff, whatever that crap is, y'all say.
You gotta deal with the woman's record. Her husband, the Clintons, they all say it. And the friends like the Clintons, black people don't need any enemies.
Hello.
We're talking about they have had a litany of stuff. Bill Clinton, before he was sworn in as president, he had a black man executed that he presided over. Named Ricky Ray Victor, who had shot someone with his own pistol. He turned the same pistol on himself. This man was really brain damaged like a child with the mind of a third grade child. And he even told the prison guards to save his ice cream. He would come back to get it later. That's how far gone he was with his mind being damaged, his brains being damaged from the way he shot himself in the head. Clinton wanted to show white folks that he was not soft on blacks. Getting capital punishment. So this black man who had shot himself in the head with his own pistol, mentally challenged because of the way he shot himself in the head, Bill Clinton didn't care. It was a cruel and unusual punishment that a black man deliberately shot himself in the head, who was now rendered brain damaged, it was clear the callousness of this man called Bill Clinton. His wife makes a speech calling black young people predators, that once we get them to heal, you get a dog to heal, you get an animal to heal. You know, there's the choice of words. I don't want to hear, and if you listen to Mr. Louis Farrakhan's latest speech that you
did, speaking of which, Kenty, you're right on point. Let me just share this, and then we have a caller, too. Let me just share that one on Farrakhan. One second. We're on the same page. Let me play this clip by Minister Farrakhan.
Come on, Lord Jesus, to see the way.
I'll just play a short piece of it.
And he really needs to amplify it nationwide. I gotta call his office tomorrow and tell him what the Clintons are doing in Haiti.
Oh my God. I have to ask this brother that I know here from Haiti. Come on, why isn't this playing for us? I have to ask him to come on if he has time. And
now, I don't know why the Haitians that are here are being so quiet. Quite a few Haitians live in Brooklyn, and they have given Hillary no heat at her headquarters here in Brooklyn.
They are down in Florida, from what I hear.
Really? Really? Well,
yes, they are in Florida. Let's see something.
Because she's the head. This guy Marshall Reed, he was forced to step down because the people was about to lynch him. But he was the stool pigeon, the lackey for the Clintons. And now they're trying to shove someone else down their throat. And the Haitian people are out in the streets. It's not being reported because there's a news whiteout. Black, I call it a whiteout. But it is clear that the Haitian people are going for the Clintons' okie doke. They're not going for it. And that since January 1st, 1804, this government has given the Haitian people no peace. They gave them peace of their behind. But no,
and Bill Clinton and Bill Clinton owns more land in Haiti than the Haitians. Now, this is what the Haitian brother told me.
Yes, and Clinton's brother, Rodham, owns so much land. And
with that little fake foundation they had, and they funneled money to him in that little fake foundation. And
thank
that's
you.
How they swindled the Haitian people.
It's rare. What happened to the houses that supposed to be built to replace the people
they
in the houses?
They built six houses from all their the millions of dollars that they had. Everybody sent. That's why I didn't send any money to Bill Clinton and George Bush for their foundation, nor did I send any money to Red Cross. Because they just devious and scandalous. None of that. I'm trying to get this clip up. So Delta, you said the strategy is for people to vote for Donald Trump.
Yes, that is what, that's the little thing they got going around. They saying that put Hillary up against Trump, so that way Trump can lose in the general election. And that's the only really reason why I vote for Trump. But ain't no need of me lying. I have to be honest with y'all. I do like some of the things Trump say. And like I said, what about the, what about the people coming over here illegal and taking all the jobs?
That's rhetoric. I mean, they said the same thing about Delta. They said the same thing about us. When they were telling us to go back to Africa, they said we're taking all their jobs after slavery, after we wouldn't work for free, and when we were working for money, the poor whites said they taking all our jobs. We need to lynch them, and that's why they started lynching. So that's why, as black people, and I'm just gonna keep it real. I'm just keeping it real. That's why, as black people,
let me just finish.
So that's why, and that's why we're sharing this with you. So that's why, as black people, we, as the main people, should not follow that type of rhetoric, because that's what they said about us. So why would we sit here and go along with them saying that bull crap about the next folks? because they still saying the same shit about us. They still want us to go back to Africa. And please give me my goddamn ticket and my land, and I will fucking get up out of here. Trust.
Hello.
Okay.
Hello, but
I don't have no problem about that shit.
But see,
so
white people talk bilingual. They're not talking where we can understand their language. Their language is legalese and military science. These white people know that the year 2034 is the year that will be officially declared white people, if not before, will be declared officially a minority in this country.
Yeah.
And that is the reason why you got so many white people out by the tens of thousands supporting Trump, because they are under the illusion that this man can turn at the hands of time and put black people in their place, reduce our numbers from the genocide that's going to commit against us, where they would now be able to be back in control. But see, when they lose control being a minority, then
how many of you voting for Hillary?
Okay. Here we go, Clint. I can't.
Yeah.
You don't have to raise your hands. I do not blame you for wanting a female president. But that's a wicked woman. Now, listen, you can vote for her, but vote for her with knowledge. She can be sweet, but so can you. And you know when you're sweet but playing a game. All of a sudden, she know about Trayvon Martin.
Thank you. She didn't say nothing about it when all of it was going on.
All of a sudden.
She was quiet.
The boy had been dead nearly 2 years.
Thank you.
Now she's talking about him like she met the mother and, these white people, this is Satan. You fall for that crap?
Each and every time.
Most of you that went to jail for having a little blunt in your pocket.
Hello. And they push drugs all around the world.
They arranged that. The Clintons. Mass incarceration came about under the Clintons.
Hello.
Don't forget that.
Thank you.
They call my young gangbangers super predators. And Black Lives Matter put it to her. She didn't know how to handle that. Call you a super predator that has no conscience, no sensitivity, like you a dog, you an animal. We got to bring you to heel. You, my young brothers, this is what she said about you. And she didn't just say it. It became law and policy of the U.S. government under Bill Clinton and her wife, his wife. And now she's apologizing. But apologizing can't bring back the broken family. Apologizing can't bring back those that have been destroyed in prison life. Apologizing! She, in her person, orchestrated the destruction of Libya and the killing of Muammar Gaddafi.
That's right.
Gaddafi was my friend. He was my brother.
Yeah, he gave you a lot of money.
She lied. He was going to kill all his people. No, he wasn't. He was just going to kill those rebels that America seized on their dissatisfaction, made a counter-revolutionary move, and then used it to bring NATO in to bomb and destroy his air defense, and then move to kill him. Now, Libya is a failed state. All the refugees fleeing out of Syria, fleeing out of Libya, fleeing out of North Africa is because of policies of the government of the United States of America and her, specifically. Now, when they release all those emails that they haven't released yet, it'll show you how she maneuvered our president.
She's him like a little boy.
And maybe you won't think so well of her when you see how she talked to him. White people don't talk to black people. I don't give a damn what position you got, like you the boss. They always talk to you like they're the boss. Well, the only way you'll ever be the boss, if you come and submit to Allah and follow the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and come on and unite with me.
All right.
Hey.
Let's open up the line for Mother Hattie. I say hi. Welcome in, I say hi. Let's take this caller right quick.
Thank you.
Hello?
Hello?
Is anybody home?
I'm here. Can you hear me, Candy?
We are here. Keep going.
Well, I can feel that Vince Lewis Farrakhan, the only thing he left out was what Hillary and her family is doing in Haiti. Most blacks still don't know, and this guy asked her what the Clintons are doing in Haiti. She's running two campaigns, one in Haiti and one here. She's trying, her and her husband, Bill Clinton, trying to shove down the throats of the Haitian people. One stooge was forced to step down, that's Marshall Reed, but they got another stooge waiting in the wings that's trying to shove down the Haitian people's throats, and the Haitian people are saying, oh, hell to the no. Mm-hmm. So they're out the street, in a revolutionary mode. The fire is still in them from the time when they successfully whipped Napoleon's butt January 1st, 1804, declaring themselves an African Republic in this hemisphere.
Yeah.
And this government, France, Canada, never forgave the Haitian people for that victorious revolution. And had it not been victorious, we would still be in chains today because it was
today.
To be 1,000 years of slavery.
Canty, let's take this call right here.
Yes,
caller, caller Yohanan, your mic is open. How are you? Caller.
Your mic is open. Okay.
I'll just close that mic back up. All right. So, King.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. And,
yes,
I see how. Are you there with us?
I am here.
How you doing,
Icy?
All right, let's let Delta finish with her hot topics, and we'll get back on the black vote and the strategy that Delta Cooper is speaking of in terms of people voting for Trump. You said voting for Trump. I'm still trying to get that one together. You said voting for Trump.
Yes, that is okay. They saying that they have did a survey. It's been all over the news. They have did a survey. And they
who conducted this survey?
I guess the news people, CNN,
okay,
I guess.
So, and who owns the news?
Hello.
I'm just asking the question. Who owns the news?
You talking about the white people or the Jews?
Who owns the news? We don't know.
No.
Okay,
we don't.
And so we're gonna go by a survey that the media, part of the media, or the mainstream media, say that they conducted, and I wonder did they ask you, because they didn't ask me. So we're going to go by a survey that they said they conducted to tell us how to vote, and you're going to follow that. That's what you're saying. I mean, we got to think about this. We got to be critical. We got to think critically about this, seriously.
Thank you.
Because just because they put out a survey and they say this on the news and they tell you that's what we're supposed to do, that's what you're going to do?
Well.
In other words,
I mean, well,
go ahead and cut up your nose and spite your face. Like, go ahead.
I mean, we really got to be smart about these decisions that we make, because these decisions will affect our lives. I'm just trying to understand everybody's position, because I respect everybody's position. I may not agree with it, but I just want to walk through it. And that's what you're saying. You're saying that the news people put out a survey and told people to vote for Trump. So
you know, the news people didn't, I mean, they didn't tell us to vote for Trump, but no, it's like the Democratic Party, like the black people are saying it.
What black people? I'm not saying it.
They were saying that. The young lady in the Democratic Party told me that they have a strategy, and the strategy is let Hillary go up against Trump, because Trump will not win if Hillary ran against him.
And so who is this black woman that's saying this, and who writes her paycheck? Where is she from? Who is she?
She's from Mississippi, right here with me.
From Mississippi.
And that's why Trump won Mississippi. So... again, I don't care if she's black.
The Republicans have, if you go back in my history, the Republicans have always won in Mississippi. They have never voted Democrat.
It used to be Dixiecrat.
Charles Evans endorsed Trump, and he has no desire to honor his brother's name. So he would do anything to get some brownie points, because he's just that filled with no hatred. And he would endorse Trump, negating the fact that all these Dixiecrats, former Dixiecrats, that are now ultra right wing Republicans, they still want to get even with blacks for daring to be free and can go out there and date their white women, and their white women enjoy dating white black men, or white women dating black men. His idea is that these white people who are very uptight about the year 2034, and they feel that they're going to be out of this thing about white supremacy controlling blacks, which are black people are their number one arch nemesis.
Okay, and so let's go back to what Delta said about black people in Mississippi, they've always voted Republican. That's actually not true. That's why it's important for us to study history.
No, I didn't say black. No, hear me out. I didn't say black.
No, you said
always voted Republican.
Mississippi has always voted
Republican.
Right, and that's what I'm saying. That's not correct, actually. Republicans were actually in the North, and see, everything flipped. So it's like Mississippi was the votes down in the parties in the South were called Dixiecrats. Am I right, Candy?
That's right.
So they weren't always, Mississippi was not always a Republican state.
That's right.
That's why they called the Lincoln Party the Party of the Republicans.
That's right. And the Democrats were founded by Andrew Jackson, who was a staunch white supremacist. A staunch white nationalist, and he had no desire to see black people being in the position where they could have self-determination. He did all he could to keep black people in slavery.
Let's take a station break, and we'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
This is Brother Elliot, host of Time for an Awakening, and you're listening to Black Talk Radio Network, new media for the new millennium.
I have some stunning Democratic primary election results from last night for you. Bernie Sanders was down an average of about 21% in Michigan primary polls going into last night's primaries, and he won Michigan. Let's take a look at the results of the March 8th Democratic primaries in Michigan. Bernie Sanders defeating Hillary Clinton 49.9 to 48.2, a small win, but one that is huge when you consider that just about every poll had him down 20 points to Hillary Clinton. Mississippi, Hillary Clinton handily trouncing Bernie Sanders, 83-17. A big win there, albeit for fewer delegates in Mississippi, Lewis. What was your thought about this? I mean, Michigan, generally speaking, Bernie Sanders has overperformed polls slightly in some states. This was just unbelievable how wrong Michigan polling was.
Yeah, maybe another case of old data. As we've seen many times now, leading up to primary day, Bernie picks up a lot of momentum. And I don't know what else to add. Is there something else that we're missing here?
In terms of why the numbers were so drastically different,
right?
In terms of, yeah, I mean, certainly I think it's that we, in some of these state races, there is old data. I think also it's possible that the momentum that Bernie Sanders has seen from getting some wins over the last week has influenced people or maybe increased voter turnout in a way that would not be represented based on a likely voter model that a particular poll uses. When you bring more people out to the polls, people who would not necessarily be considered likely voters, that can give you very different actual election results when compared to polling results. But the real question becomes, where do we stand on the delegates? And the question also, Lewis, do we include superdelegates or not? Either way, we get yelled at. When I include superdelegates in my delegate count, people say, David, you shouldn't be talking about that. You should be focusing on the number of delegates that Bernie and Hillary have respectively secured based on the ballot. But then when we don't include superdelegates, people write in and say, David, you cannot include the superdelegates, but the superdelegates still exist. So let's do both. First, I will show you the data without including superdelegates. As of today, without including superdelegates, Hillary Clinton has 766 delegates, getting her 32% of the way to the required 2,383 delegates to win. Bernie Sanders, 549 delegates, has him 23% of the way to goal. Lewis, when you look at these numbers without the superdelegates, this is still a very close race.
Big time, yeah, no question about it. Bernie is right there, and, you know, looking ahead.
So, I mean, that is the land of unconfirmed voters.
Yes, we came, we saw, he died.
He didn't have anything to do with your visit.
No, oh, I'm sure it did. They're going to be captured or killed.
Democratic Jewish state.
Okay. We came, we saw, and we killed a man. That was Hillary Clinton when she was interviewed. Excuse me, I can't recall the lady's name, but that was after they assassinated Gaddafi. Gaddafi, let me just say a few little things about how he provided for his people. If you lived in Libya and you wanted to come over to, say, University of Texas to go to school, Gaddafi paid for your tuition, your books, your housing. When you can't take whoever's coughing, you're going to have to mute your mouth.
That's not me. That's not me.
Okay, whoever's coughing, you got to mute now. I know sometimes it happens. We just got to kind of reduce the noise, please.
Get some water.
Thank you, Candy. even your family members, when they came over, say, come to Texas with you while you're studying for those 4 years, 2 years, 8 years, whatever it is, their housing was also paid for. The subsidies from oil, everybody reaped benefits from that. Not just, say, for instance, like the Bushes and whoever was able to buy stock in Shell, Chevron, BP, Valero, whatever. Everybody reaped benefit from the oil money. So Gaddafi, he did a lot for his people. And now this, that he is, has been assassinated, Libya is war-torn. It was beautiful over there. If I have a chance tonight, I will pull up the list of all the many benefits the people in Libya had under Gaddafi. And they went over there and they killed him. Gaddafi was getting ready to unite the African people and bring about a currency for African people. And that's one of the reasons why they went and killed him.
The French spent 3 months trying to get him to sell out, and he wouldn't sell out. They wanted him to not go the route that he was going to build sub-Saharan Africa and to bring it into the modern times to compete with the super Western powers. Because Africa, to this day, I didn't think it would happen in my lifetime, but listen, as sure as you're born, as they say, Africa is being recolonized.
Yeah. So let's let Delka Kuga finish with our hot topics, and we can pick back up on the black vote, money, love, sex, relationships, hot topics. Serena on Maria Sharapova, since she's been she tested positive. The tennis player tested positive.
She said she didn't know it was
drug.
She didn't know it was banned.
Well, yeah, they say she it became banned, I think, January. I think it just became a banned substance this year. But she had been taking it for quite a while, some years or whatever. But anyway, like this meme said that I saw on social media, it said, you was taking those drugs all that time, you still couldn't beat Serena. So anyway, Delta, what hot topics do you have for us tonight?
Okay, we have a black sheriff out of Louisiana. Someone called him and told him that there was a white man had set up a tent on his private owned land and was selling Confederate flags and all type of white supremacist different little stuff they sell. Mm-hmm. The man went there and told the white guy to leave his land. The white man wouldn't leave. The black man, who was the sheriff, went to his car and got his gun and pointed it at the white man. Well, he got his gun, I'll put it like that. And the white man left, went to the police station, and said that the black guy who became the first black one of the first black sheriffs there, the white man said that the black guy hit him beside the head with the gun and threatened his life. Now this first black sheriff has got a felony charge on him and all type of charges on him. He said the white man on his land set up camp, and he did not hit the man with the gun. He said now he is about to lose his police job, and now he the one is being charged with a felony, and the man set up shop on his land.
Any witnesses?
Yeah, in Louisiana, yeah, the man, they called him and told the sheriff that the white guy was squatting on his land and had set up a tent. The white guy don't deny he was on the land selling. Don't deny it wasn't this, that he was on private owned land selling different types of products.
what I'm asking for. And I need witnesses to this exchange between this black judge, the black sheriff, and this white man.
They didn't say. The storyline didn't say.
It was going to happen. The word of the white man was Bible. Black man is not human, so therefore he's uncredible to defend himself. But the black man is not considered human, subhuman, and therefore he must never be taken serious about talking to defend himself. It must be true. The white man said that this man, black man, should have hit him, then it must be true.
What's your next topic, Delta?
Yeah, so that. Okay, then the next topic is, you brought up the one that I was going to talk about too, Serena Williams, and I still want to put my input on that.
Mm-hmm.
She says that she didn't know this was banned. She is a liar, because they had been suspecting her for the longest of using some type of enhancement, and every time she denied it and said that she wasn't using anything. So all of a sudden now, you didn't know this was illegal. This is a lie. She is a straight out lie.
And I think that Serena's comment was, again, very, what can I say, very classy.
Well, you know, she's walking a thin line.
Who?
Serena, you know, she can't say nothing about the blue-eyed devil. Yes, she do. You know, they'll probably vote her out.
Well, let me just play this clip from Serena.
Serena Williams is praising Maria Sharapova for coming clean about failing a drug test. Sharapova announced on Tuesday, March 7th, that she tested positive for newly banned substance meldonium at the Australian Open. Sharapova lost to Williams in the quarterfinals. Sharapova said she's been taking meldonium for health reasons for almost a decade, and it had not been part of the World Anti-Doping Agency's banned list of substances until January 1, 2016. Sharapova faces suspension. She has also lost millions in endorsements and is the highest-ranking tennis player to test positive for a banned substance. Williams said Sharapova's announcement took courage and heart.
Okay, Delta.
No, the only reason she came out and told it because she was finna get busted. She hadn't got busted. So the white blue-eyed devil had to come up with a way to try to save herself. So let's be for real now. She didn't come out until her hand got forced.
Okay.
So let's keep it real. We know that's what she did. She didn't come out on her own. She was forced out.
Okay.
And you didn't, but you didn't tell nobody you've been taking this stuff? Why you didn't tell nobody? That tells you right there she knew it was something wrong with it.
She knew it was going to leak out for me. She had like a rat looking for a hole. She had to find a hole.
Okay, Delta, next hot topic. Let's keep it moving.
Oh, okay. And then we have another. Okay, y'all, Tony, get some inspiring stuff to talk about. Okay,
yes.
I went and I Googled, and I was Googling like black child prodigy millionaire. And I pulled up about this young black boy in 1980 that was in Chicago in the project. And he always wanted, he said when he would go and open his door, the refrigerator door, there was nothing in the refrigerator. He said only thing he can remember is the light coming on, but there was never no food or anything in there. So he wanted a way to become a millionaire. So he looked around, he said from a child that didn't have anything, he wanted to know what can he take self-sufficient and make him some money. So what he did, he found rocks
And he went around and he found rocks with different odd types of shapes. And what he did, he bought him some paint. And he painted those rocks so pretty. And he started going around to everywhere and using the rocks for book holders, paper holders.
Mm-hmm.
And he is a millionaire. He became a millionaire at 21. He has wrote several books, and that's my inspiring story for today, and those are my hot topics. But I want people to know, anyway, there's no excuse if you want to make something out of your life. You got to want it. No matter where you come from, you still can follow your dream no matter what. The key is you got to have a goal, you got to have a mind.
Delta, that's a hand clap for you. That's a hand clap because we're so glad that you gave us a positive story. I don't feel like I want to climb in the bed and pull the covers over my head because I heard about three people that got shot in the head. So I really, really thank you so, I mean, let me, Delta, I just really want to thank you. Let me give you another hand clap. Delta,
but the most important thing I want the young kids to know, we can succeed if we put our mind to it. This young man took rocks, just plain old rocks, and painted them. And went around from business to different businesses and selling them for $2. And the young man made $50. And he took his whole $50 and put it in the bank.
That's a great story. I love it. I love it. I love it because he probably just went out walking around like me and my mom do and find little rocks and stones and we paint them. We recycle bottles and we paint the bottles. It could be a wine glass bottle or a juice bottle and we'll paint those. And it's not only like a little craft, but it's also very relaxing for us. And so, yes, I believe that we all have various talents, and we just have to tap in to those God-given talents that we have. And Delta, you have a talent for finding news stories, and you share those news stories with us. And I thank you for growing and sharing something.
And selling my hat. Don't forget, making my hat. Making hats, making flowers.
Yes. And how can they reach out to you to see
they
the pictures
can go
of
to,
your hats and flowers?
Dorothy Dunning Facebook and send me a message and I will get back in touch with them. And I also sell dresses, sell any type of suits, sell any type of men's suits, men's shoes, ladies' shoes. Anything that your heart desires, Delta Cooper can get it for you.
Wow. Thank you, Delta. And let's welcome in Mother's Feather Light. And Feather Light, I think you have a mind, body, and spirit for us to share.
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. How is everybody doing today?
Wonderful.
Fine. Good. I'd actually like to share a couple of recipes since it's about almost time for your break. So, smoothies, okay? Smoothies are a good way to get your vegetables and your fruits in for the day. I know that I've always had a hard time eating enough fruits. Just bite an apple, peel an orange, you know. But I have found that since I got my little ninja, I get all the fruits and vegetables that I need. And I just wanted to share some of these tips with everyone. Some things that you can put into your smoothies. to get your vitamins, chia seeds. Chia seeds, I put chia seeds in all of my smoothies. They contain omega-3 fatty acids, lots of fiber. It has more iron than spinach, more calcium than milk, more antioxidants than blueberries, and you can mix them with your smoothies for all the extra nutrients. Lemons give you a good cleansing benefit with the citric flavor. And then bananas have that feel-good chemical called tryptophan, and it gives you that feel-good feeling. So bananas are usually, and it gives your smoothies a sort of a thicker consistency. And then apples give you that extra fiber. And pineapples, of course, help decalcify the pineal gland. They're packed with all kinds of nutrients, high amounts of vitamin C, the strength of the immune system, B vitamins that help promote energy, manganese. It's good for your digestive system. And something that I just found out, that pineapples are not just one, it's not just one fruit. It's a combination of many flowers whose individual fruitlets fuse together around a central core. So isn't that interesting? Yeah. Very, very interesting. And coconut milk, or coconut water, rather. I've said this before, but I wanted to say it again. Coconut water is very, very good for you. It's, in an emergency, it can be used as blood plasma substitute. So that gives you an idea of how powerful it is. And also, when you're making your smoothies, don't forget to add water for hydration. Very important. Oh, and if your smoothie is too thick, then you can add a small amount of a high moisture food like celery, cucumbers, lemons, limes, you know, to thin it out. Now, you want to get a pencil and paper so that you can write down this wonderful recipe. Let's see. All right, and I will repeat it. Now, this recipe it's high in potassium. It's perfect for giving you that hydration if you're, you know, losing your moisture. It's a good sports drink for if you're active or for active children. This is 1/3 cup of fresh chopped mango, 1 1/4 cup of coconut water, 1 tablespoon of fresh mint leaves, and raw honey or agave or grade B molasses for taste. These are sweeteners, natural sweeteners. So you place all the above ingredients in a 40-ounce blender or processor and just blend like crazy. We're blending to smooth. So this strengthens your immune system. It brings back that natural glow to your skin. It helps with your mood, with the antioxidants, and the coconut water provides electrolyte builders that keep the body hydrated and helps you to feeling great. So let me repeat that one more time. It's a 1/3 cup of fresh chopped mango, 1 1/4 cup of coconut water, 1 tablespoon of fresh mint leaves. And you can add a little raw honey. Don't use it with, you know, that regular honey that you get in the store for like $2 or $3. Get some raw honey. Go to the Whole Food store, health food store. We have something that's called Sprouts. It's not as expensive as Whole Foods. And of course, grade B molasses is packed. Oh my gosh, it's packed with nutrients. Okay, so let me give you one more. Now, this I call my third eye smoothie. This is one I made up myself. Okay, it will make two 8-ounce cups. I always do two because somebody else always wants a smoothie when I make a smoothie, so I always do two at a time. Okay, so one banana, a half of an avocado. I guess you better use two, a whole avocado, because I'm doing it for two people. Watercress. Watercress is the most densely nutrient-packed vegetable on the planet. It has more nutrients than, cilantro. Yeah, cilantro, you know, pulls toxins out of your body. But watercress tops that. Right. So when you do cilantro or watercress or anything like that, what I do is I just grab a handful. I just use my five fingers. I just pull off a little bit, you know, cut off the stems, rinse it, and I just put that in there. Okay. So 5 ounces of coconut water, 1/4 cup of fresh pineapple, a tiny, tiny piece of habanero. You know, that's very hot, so just tiny, tiny, tiny. It's antioxidant and it's antifungal. Okay. 1 to 2 teaspoons of chia seeds. The juice of 1 lime. 3 ice cubes. You know, 3 or 4, doesn't matter. And you blend like crazy. Blend into smooth. So the first 5 ingredients are foods that actually decalcify the pineal gland. So that's why I call it the third eye smoother. So you got 1 banana, 1/2 avocado, watercress, 5 ounces of coconut water, 1/4 cup of fresh pineapples, a tiny, tiny piece of habanero. I usually use 1 teaspoon to 8 ounces of my smoothie, so 2 teaspoons of chia seeds, because you're going to be making this for 2 people. Juice of 1 lime. And if you have it, this is optional, kiwi. You know, kiwi is a superfood. So if I have it, I throw it in there. If I don't, I don't worry about it. It's absolutely delicious. And when you think about how powerful it is with the nutrients, it tastes even better. So give me one more, because we've got 2 minutes before the next break. This is good for weight loss. Mother Donna, you said you wanted something for the weight loss. Okay, 2 handfuls. There's 2 handfuls of baby spinach, 1 apple, 1 banana, 5 strawberries, 1/2 orange, and just blend like crazy. Blend into smooth. So there is your weight loss, super weight loss smoothie. 2 handfuls of baby spinach, 1 apple, 1 banana, 5 strawberries, 1/2 orange, and blend like crazy. And there you have it.
Ooh, sounds delicious. And it takes
those are all delicious. Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
How long does it take to prep and prepare it and all?
About 5 minutes. 5 minutes.
So in about 5 minutes. And you know, these new ninjas are so great, because we used to have to use those juicers, like the, Jack Lane juicers. It cost like $100 and all that.
Right.
You know, buy the little ninja. There's a less cleanup mess and all of that. So,
oh, yeah.
I love that. Mm-hmm. I absolutely love those ninjas.
All I have to do is rinse out the little, the little 8 ounce, you know, cup or whatever it is that you know sits on top of the ninja that I blend with. I just rinse. I just pour my smoothie into a glass, and then I rinse out the container, and I'm done. Of course, you know, you rinse out the thing that chops everything up, and that's just rinse too. That's like less than a minute. Less than a minute.
Thank you. Yeah. I hope everyone has their pen and paper, but Aja will post that on the Lotus Place Radio page on Facebook so that you can get the recipe and enjoy the smoothie. Let's take a quick break, and we will be right back. Call in number 641-715-3660. The code is 549032, and press town, and we will.
You are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
This is Brother Elliot, host of Time for an Awakening, and you're listening to Black Talk Radio Network, new media for the new millennium.
U.S. federal prosecutor Preet Bharara announced today that the government will not be charging the police officer who shot a black teen in 2012. The deceased teen, Ramarley Graham, was 18 years old at the time. New York police followed Graham into his apartment and shot him in his bathroom because they thought he was holding a firearm. Graham's parents, Constant Malcolm and Frank Graham, have been pleading for justice for the last 3.5 years, but apparently no indictments will be forthcoming from the U.S. Attorney's Office.
News for people who can't stand the news.
Michelle Alexander, who is the author of The New Jim Crow, she wrote a very, very, she wrote an amazing piece in The Nation titled Why Hillary Clinton Doesn't Deserve the Black Vote. In that piece in The Nation, you could type in, you know, Google Nation, Michelle Alexander, and then why, you know, Hillary Clinton, and you'd get the article. Basically, there's a quote from Hillary Clinton in the early 90s, and this is when, you know, crime was up, and it was very, it's a quote you can't even believe that any person said, but a quote that certainly you'd never want a presidential candidate to recite. And so in the early 90s, there was something called a super predator theory. And it was a theory of why people turn violent or young kids eventually become criminals. Now that was coded language to basically justify the incarceration of black people. And when she was asked about, you know, how people became dangerous, I'll give a quote, a direct quote from Michelle Alexander's piece in The Nation titled, Why Hillary Clinton Doesn't Deserve a Black Vote. In her support for the 1994 crime bill, for example, Clinton used racially coded rhetoric to cast black children as animals. This is a quote from Clinton. Quote, they are not just gangs of kids anymore, she said. Quote, they are often the kinds of kids that are called super predators. No conscience, no empathy. We can talk about why they ended up that way, but we first have to bring them to heel. Now, I didn't make this quote up. This is something that Hillary Clinton said. Mm-hmm. Tim, what do you think of that?
You know how I feel, AJ, man. I don't think you can excuse that away. You can't just say, well, she meant this or she meant that. No, no, she meant what you think she meant. You know, that type of thing.
Yep. But this is what I don't understand, Tim. This is what I don't understand. I don't get how Hillary Clinton accepted money, over $130,000, from two major prison lobbyists. This is a fact. Two major prison lobbyists. And then, when we know that, you know, the history of mass incarceration in our country that Bill Clinton just apologized for.
Yep.
So he apologized for his role. He incarcerated more Americans. And this is according to Michelle Alexander, and there's a whole bunch of research on this. He incarcerated more Americans than any president in history. That affected the black community excessively, more than anyone else.
Right.
Now, to make amends, she accepted money from two major prison lobbyists, which makes absolutely no sense. No. Now she expects to win South Carolina. She has a firewall that is essentially, she plans on, you know, getting the majority of the African-American votes.
Yep.
this is kind of, it's beyond anything reasonable in my mind. How a person, yeah, can have a history of saying that super predators and kids, she's really speaking about African Americans, that they quote, we have to bring them to heel,
right,
end quote. And that's Hillary Clinton speaking. Then 20 years later, she takes money from the same people who incarcerated excessively the black community in right. the 90s.
Right.
So I just don't understand how anyone could vote for Hillary Clinton.
The whole super predator thing, I'm looking at it like for what it is. We got to remember, Hillary's not just a woman that's sitting around talking to her girlfriends. She's not just a woman talking to her cousins or nieces. This woman went on a campaign trail, basically. She went out canvassing. She went to podiums and said this. She was raising this notion that youth, black youth particularly, that's what they were talking about, were super predators. Man, this can't be a good thing. Now, look. Why not focus on people? Why not focus on, you're the first lady, why not focus on what causes crime? Okay? What conditions create a situation where a person would commit crime? But no, we're just going to focus on the children that are caught up in this situation. So that to me shows a lot about integrity. You couldn't pay me enough money to do it. And she was doing it for free. You understand what I'm saying? So, that's how I see it, AJ.
Yeah, no, I agree 100% with you.
In 1994, Bill Clinton wanted to pass a crime legislation, and it was three strikes bill. So if you have three felonies, you get a life sentence. Hillary Clinton was the first lady and aggressively lobbied for it. She gave a speech in 94 defending this piece of legislation. Now, she had many different defenses to it, and some of it were good parts of the bill, including community policing. And here in this clip, she's going to be talking about gangs, not just all kids, not just black kids. But when they talk about super predators, they almost always meant young African-American kids. And so here is Hillary Clinton talking about what should be done with them.
Not just gangs of kids anymore. They are often the kinds of kids that are called super predators. No conscience, no empathy. We can talk about why they ended up that way, but first we have to bring them to heel.
Bring them to heel. Very rarely was the term super predator ever used in reference to white kids. Perhaps sometimes in reference to the Columbine kids, but almost always when talking about black kids in inner cities who are in gangs. So I'm giving you the full context. It wasn't just that she was talking about super predators, and it wasn't just regular old kids walking down the street. But was it racially used, that term? Yes, it most certainly was. It was used over and over by Republicans, adopted by the Clintons, to scare everybody. Oh, watch out for the super predators. They have no conscience. They have no empathy. We've got to bring them to heel.
We're going to bring them to heel, these super predators. Watch out. Can't be. Watch out for the black man walking down the street. He may steal your purse. He may rob your grandmother. And there we have it.
What can, okay, she said super predator. What can we call our boys in our neighborhood that's being bad, that's not doing right? What can
what about
say
the ones that's good? No, what about the ones that's good? And it's not just black men that's running around here, because we don't see too many black men running up in no movie theater shooting 30-something people for nothing. We don't see too many black men running up in no school shooting up people while they sitting in the classroom like they did in Columbine, the Asian boy that went and shot up Virginia Tech, and many other schools. So what do we call them? If we're going to ask the question, what do we call our black boys, then let's ask, what do we call the white boys? What do we call the Asians and anybody else? What do we call the Mexican boy that stabbed the black boy in the lunchroom right up the street from me in Houston, Texas? What do we call them?
Why we always got to put some labels on our black boys like they the only ones that's out here doing something? They're not the only ones that's out here doing anything, committing crimes. What about these white kids that's on meth, running around here robbing and doing all kinds of things so that they can have meth stealing from their parents? What about these white kids that's so deep on heroin that President Obama had to pass a $1 billion bill to help them get some more heroin? So what do we call them? We got to keep it real. What do we call them? What do we call these heroin addicts?
We can call them heroin heads. Heroin white heads.
And so why we have to put a negative label on our black children? Because it's not like they were just born criminals. They were born into a criminal society. They were born into a society that doesn't want to give them equal opportunities. They want to disenfranchise them. So we expect for our young children to just sit here and not have anything, watch their moms go wash clothes, work hard, 2-3 jobs, so that they can have something. Then they turn around and wake up in the morning and go to some school dealing with another white teacher or black teacher that don't want to teach them and views them as a negative and views them as unteachable, ADHD child, you need all this kind of discipline and be expelled. So we got to stop looking at our children like they just got these criminal minds. No, they were born into a system that creates this kind of atmosphere that causes them to have these types of reactions. And they've done studies on how they created project building. That's why they call them projects, because it was a project that they instituted to see how black people would react if they forced them out of homes and forced them all into this cramped space into buildings and didn't maintain the buildings. How would they respond? How would they react? So all of this stuff is by design, and that's one thing that Michelle Alexander says. She says we have to study the system so we can know. It's not like you're a Christian, right, Delta? So you know you didn't raise your boys to be criminals, but they still committed crimes.
Right.
Yeah, and so why did they commit those crimes? It did not have anything to do with the fact that you were an evil person, that you didn't know how to raise your children. They were caught up in a system. So, you know, we can't point fingers like that. I mean, I just, you know how I am about, you know, when we start talking about our black children like that.
Okay. But now, can I say something?
Of course.
Yeah, okay. Now, why we some of our boys, and including mine, because you know I have 3 boys.
Mm-hmm.
Some of our kids do be being bad. So what can we do? You know, and what can we say about them?
Well, I think everybody has a different reason for why the children acting out. I mean, it's not just like that all of them are bad seeds. It's just different conditions. Sometimes, and I know Mother Hattie can speak on this, and sometimes parents are just not there for whatever reason to really give the children the instruction and guidance that they need. It's a lot of environmental issues. It's a lot of systematic, policies. Like, for instance, I used to speak to, and still do, speak to young black men. And when I would ask them, you know, so you selling drugs, why aren't you doing something else? And they would tell me, well, it's not like I want to be out here selling drugs. They said, hey, look, I tried to go and apply for several jobs. Don't nobody want to hire me. So they supposed to do what? Be homeless? Now, I'm not saying they should go sell drugs, but when you have governmental policy, and agencies like the FBI, CIA, and this has been documented, that plant drugs and guns in communities for black children to sell, then what else are they supposed to do, Delta?
Well, the only thing, you know, I can say is I think some things that we have to take responsibility, now that's where we differ. Some things I do think we have to take responsibility
And a lot of us in our community is not stepping up and taking responsibility, even though they may not be our kids, but it's a village. A lot of us is not stepping up and taking responsibility or saying anything about it because
why do you think people are not taking responsibilities or saying anything?
I'm talking about the people in our community. I think they just don't care.
You think they don't care?
I think a lot of them don't.
So do you think the pastors don't care?
Well, yes. You got a lot of them don't care. You may have a few people that's trying to stir people on the right way. The pastor care about his money.
So what about like college professors, like say sociologists? So they study people and the social condition. So do you think that maybe they should start some programs or offer some type of service to the community and give back and try to help people in some kind of way understand the conditions, and since that's what they study, social conditions. So do you think maybe if they would come out with more instruction for people, that may help?
Yeah, I think so. And I think the people in the community, we got a lot of times now, people don't try to correct their kids. Because like a girl was in Tierra.
They can't really discipline their children now because they go to jail.
But it's not. You know, a lot of us don't discipline and even jail, we don't even worry about that. And some people do. Because can I give you a perfect example? Okay, we got a my friend worked in the school system, and she was telling me tonight that the rule is if your child bring a cell phone to school and he gets caught talking on their cell phone, that they take that phone for 5 days.
Uh-huh.
And that's the news. Now, when I was coming up, well, we didn't have cell phones, but when my kids were coming up, if they got their cell phone taken, you can get that cell phone back until the end of the year. That was the rule. You cannot get that cell phone back until the end of the year. But now they got it where if they take the cell phone, you get it back in 5 days. The girl told me that the mother came out there and the mother cut up so bad and was threatening and over the cell phone now, not fussing about her son being on the cell phone doing wrong. She didn't fuss about that. But she was raising all type of hell because her son, they took his cell phone.
Mm-hmm. But do you know that perhaps that cell phone is a connection if that parent is working two or three jobs so that they can help rear their child? A lot of parents give them those in those instances. That's number one. Number two, that might be the only phone in the house. And so they have to be able to have some kind of communication. So that would be very upsetting for a parent who were in either one of those conditions. People that are in survival mode, they're not thinking rational like maybe somebody who has what they need, the basics of what they need. But many families now are in such dire straits. It's just like the difference between, let's say, people will say that the parents don't care about the education of their children. They don't care about this. They don't care about that. But the sad fact of the matter is they care just as much for theirs as we care about ours getting an education. But their priorities are in a whole different quarter for the simple fact they might be working three part-time jobs to keep a roof over the children's head and food on the table. Because the system that's set in place now to help people really is not very functional. So if a young person is on public assistance wants to get a job to supplement, they will take away something from them. They will take away their maybe their health care or their child care. And so it's really complicated. And with health care, it's different now because we have a different system coming into place. But there are all kinds of people that have different priorities than many of us have. And I think that probably that parent that came in for that wasn't necessarily just saying, don't take my child's cell phone because whatever, whatever. And I don't think a lot of the administrators understand that. You have to be cognizant of what's going on in your surroundings. And so your girlfriend that's the principal at the school that was so down on that parent, the mere fact that she didn't even think about the priorities and she didn't think about what could be possibly going on socioeconomically in that family, it bothers me.
It bothers me too, because she's in a completely different socioeconomic bracket, this principal, or even the teacher in the class who reported the child to the principal, however the case played out. And so, like Icy High stated, they may be just completely disconnected from the reality of their family. And so I think we get really hard on some of our brothers and sisters and you know, not really, because we don't understand what they're going through. Just like what Mother had said, we don't understand what they're going through. And we look at it like, I'm like you, Dale. I'm like, oh, why was she coming there and yell at the child? But then, too, I have to look at it like Mother had just laid out some perfect examples. That may be the house phone. That is their way of communicating. She needs to call that child while she's on break and make sure that child made it home safely. She needs to make sure that child knows how to turn the stove on, what to get out the refrigerator and cook for the other children. So we don't know what's going on in that household as to why.
But he should have listened. And if he didn't listen, you have to suffer consequence.
Let me ask you one other question about that. It just shows such lack of compassion from my perspective. Call me the bleeding heart. But just like that little girl that police officer threw all around that classroom, you remember that situation?
Yes.
And the little girl was basically trying to connect with somebody. She had been taken out of the home for foster care or something like that. We never know what children are going through, what a family is going through. And so we have to dig a little bit deeper. These are really, really tough times.
Oh, yes.
It's getting to be even tough for, quote, middle class people, much less those that have been living on the periphery. I can only imagine what they're going through. I probably can't imagine it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just my thoughts on that one.
Yeah.
That little boy may have been even in a situation like, we don't know, it's missing.
Mm-hmm.
But something certainly was different, and it's not what you probably think it is, that the mother is just being a jerk or whatever.
Mm-hmm. And coming in there being belligerent with the principal. So, yeah.
And then she could have been. But I just see it being a lack of compassion on the part of that administrator.
Well,
unless otherwise, she would have been saying, when I asked them if what was going on, is there something that was there? I just got little red flags for me. But of course, people like that and think like that are not in the public schools anymore. They run you away. You can't survive it anymore if you care about black children and black people and your black community. You won't be able to survive it.
Mm-hmm. And I think too, we get caught up so much in the rhetoric that we see on the news and what these talking points that people have, and we begin to absorb that and we adopt those different talking points and that rhetoric, and we start believing it and we start spewing it right back out. Just like the whole thing about Donald Trump talking about people coming over here taking our jobs. Like I said, they said the same thing about us.
those black folks taking our jobs. Those niggas taking our jobs. So it's no way in the world I can sit here and say that about another person. Black, white, orange, yellow, red, I don't care. That's a human being, and they deserve opportunities too. There's plenty of work out here for everybody. If you go out and create a job, go out and create your own damn job if you're scared about people taking a job from you. So, you know, I just think that that's a very harsh way to look at things when we don't want to allow. First of all, this ain't nobody's land to say who can and who can't cross a border. In fact, who created borders? When did borders come about? Because it used to be a time when you could transverse this land and go wherever you wanted to. So who's to sit here and try to tell people where they can go and all this kind of stuff? Oh, you got to have a passport to come here. You got to do this and do that. But who's to say that? This land's supposed to be our land, your land, God's land. That's the song we used to sing when we were coming up. So when did
this
all of
land, this land is the white man's land.
Exactly.
The world is the white man's world.
So we're supposed to sit here and try to keep people out, in particular people that were already living here and traveling here. We're supposed to not want them to come over here and see who they talking about, immigrants. First of all, these people like Donald Trump, Lou Dobbs, who was back on TV, who was sitting up here spewing hate, talking about immigrants and immigrants over here taking jobs, and he was hiring immigrants and paying them under the table to clean his house. Okay, but you talking about immigrants don't need to come over here. These people are the main ones. If you go knock on their door, they got some little Latin American woman over there cleaning up. So see, that's why I say I can't even listen to that. I can't agree with it. I can't listen to it because that's what they're doing. And that's what they said about us. That's just not fair. And that's just so ungodly to me to sit here and try to tell people that they can't live somewhere and have a good life, especially when this country creates policies that causes war, destruction, and poverty in their country. But then we don't want them to come over here and get away from the war that we created. Come on. Come on, y'all. Wake up. That's all I'm saying. Is King B still with us?
I don't think so. But so, Delta, what do you think the responsibility of the black community is in reference to the quote, bad children that we have? And I know Brother Brown talks about that a lot as well. I don't know why all this feedback. Are you all hearing it?
Yeah.
On this phone?
Oh, really?
Just on your phone, Aisha.
It's just mine, okay.
No, it's not doing it now.
No, I heard it too when I was talking.
When you,
I heard it when you were talking too.
Hello, ladies.
I've heard it when it.
Ladies, this Scotty, when you have a whole bunch of lines open, that happens sometimes, but we've been having issues all day with the conference line, so I don't think it's anything we can do about it except push through
okay.
it.
Okay.
Okay, thanks, Scotty. So,
I was just wondering what Brother Brown said. We need to take responsibility and teach the children how to behave and teach them to stay under the radar is basically what I heard him say oftentimes. So, and I agree that we have to be responsible for our children. I think that we can be responsible, and most people are, but there are some that are not being responsible. So how can we help to create a community where we're encouraging that to happen? But I still also know that there is this huge structural kinds of racism that's in the educational system. It's in every aspect of our whole country where these children are tunneled into this certain way to behave and respond to society at a very early age. I have seen it unfold more recently in my own little boys.
Let's take a quick break.
You either become the sex object, or you either become someone who doesn't know, you go to special ed, or you become the super nigga.
Yep.
Well, you outperform everybody, and you have to do two or three different
to the Black Talk Radio
different things.
For podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com. You are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For live programming schedules, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
All right, and we are back. Let me just give out the call-in number for our last 30 minutes, 641-715-3660. That's 641-715-3660, and the participant code is 549032, press pound. And if you would like to share a comment, press *61. Let me just play this little clip here, and then we'll come back and tackle that question that our Mother Hattie posed for us. How do we be more responsible in terms of teaching our children? Let's see.
Hey, y'all. Okay, so I just finished reading two articles. One is for MSNBC. It's by, I hope I pronounced her name right, Irene Carmen. And it's titled, Democratic Primary Finds Black Feminists Conflicted. The other is by Michelle Alexander, and it's for The Nation, and it's called Why Hillary Clinton Doesn't Deserve the Black Vote. So I first want to talk a little bit about the MSNBC article about black feminists. The first thing that came to my mind when I read the article was, wow, how many articles and books are going to be published about this extremely important moment in black feminist history and black feminist critical thought? This moment being, sort of the, I don't know what to call it, the coming out of Barack Obama's presidency, right, as African-American man being elected as president, into a moment where you're now saying, should we go for a white woman, right, which is, would also be progressive and moving forward and having a first woman president. This sort of middle ground here, where, as the article states, it's ironic that a older white man and Bernie Sanders is probably the most revolutionary of the two. Is the most revolutionary candidate, because I think Jamila Lemieux says, what if Obama said the things that Bernie Sanders is saying, which we could talk a little bit about the privilege that Bernie Sanders does have to say these things, right? Obama could not say the things Bernie Sanders is saying and has been elected. He had to toe the line. He just couldn't have said it. So the privilege that comes with this white man being in this position, Bernie Sanders, to say these things that to me resonate with me in a lot of ways. But then also to have Hillary Clinton on the other side of things, who is also saying things that resonate, or at least using terminology that resonates, like intersectionality, like talking about reform, like talking about Flint, Michigan, like talking about structural inequalities. And so it's this very interesting moment because, as the article states, black women are so important to the Democratic Party. And in the last election, clearly black people chose to support Obama over Clinton, right? Chose, we could maybe even argue, chose race over gender. Could we argue that? I don't know. You guys correct me if I'm wrong. And then to see in this election, this primary, how that's going to play out, I think is particularly important. Another thing that came up, Salome Shatila, who was interviewed for the article, talks about how perhaps there's some, a little bit of disillusionment about what it means to elect a representative, because Obama's election, although certainly will certainly, and she says this, will definitely has effects that I don't believe we can fully understand now. For black people, didn't change things for black people in the way that perhaps that we thought it would change things, right? Just having a black president didn't mean that a lot of the policies changed for black people in particular. So that's one thing. And so maybe there's some disillusionment then again about having a woman there. Are things going to necessarily change for women in the ways they need to change? So that's something to think about, right? I don't know. What do you guys think? Where do you stand? I think the article, the title pretty much sums up how I feel. Actually, when I read the article, I said, yeah, this is why I haven't really commented on the primaries, right? Because I am conflicted about how I feel about Hillary Clinton or Bernie Sanders. Initially, my thoughts were, duh, of course I'll vote for Hillary Clinton. But the more I started listening to Bernie Sanders and what he was saying, the more, like I said, the things he said really resonated me in terms of economic upheaval of our economic system. But as Michelle Alexander says, even if he does get into office, he's still still within a Democratic Party and still within the system. And so you wonder how much of what we say will actually pan out. Now, moving on over to Michelle Alexander's article, I'm going to be honest, you guys. This was very eye-opening for me. I was too young to remember Bill Clinton in office in terms of, like, to be politically engaged, right? Of course, I remember him in office, but politically engaged, you know, the different things that were happening in office as that were going on, I didn't know. I knew the black people liked him. I knew that my parents liked him, and they represented all black people for me. I knew he's a Democrat, and we're Democrats, and that was about it. So I wonder, too, when we're talking about, and Michelle Alexander talks about the loyalty that black people have to the Clintons, if it's really a loyalty that my generation, 25 and younger, maybe even 5 years older than me, have to the Clintons. Because even though I would argue that perhaps black people, the black vote, decided that we were going to support Obama, first black male president, over a first woman president, I wonder if it also had a lot to do with a younger generation that just, and we know that the younger generation really supported Obama, a younger generation who doesn't have that same affinity for the Clintons that maybe perhaps people who really were politically engaged and remembered do. I'm not sure if I'm articulating myself well with that. But anyway, eye-opening article, I learned a lot of things, particularly about the Bill Clinton's about how Bill Clinton's time in office exponentially impacted mass incarceration for African Americans, particularly African American males, and then was exponentially affected the way that we understood economics, the way the media read, okay, there are less African Americans who are unemployed, African American males who are unemployed, but as Michelle Alexander states, and as she quotes, that's because there is the invisible poor, the poor people that are behind bars. She also talks about the effects on welfare that overly affected African American households. She also talks about the 1994 crime bill. There are so many things, and you need to read this article if you haven't. I'm not going to rehash everything that she discusses, but so many things that negatively impacted African Americans that we are structural things that negatively impacted African Americans that we are still dealing with today, that we're fighting with right now as we speak, that Clinton is largely to blame for. Before I read the article, I actually said to myself, I'm not going to blame Hillary Clinton for the things that her husband did. And however, Michelle Alexander reminded me that Hillary Clinton is known for the fact that she was very involved in her husband's, she was very involved as a first lady in terms of in policy and things like that. And so you can't just say, well, she was the first lady and she was removed. She was very involved in a lot of her commentary was in support of the things that Bill Clinton was doing that negatively impacted black people. She also talks about childhood poverty being the highest, or our country having one of the highest childhood poverty rates. And we actually talked about this today in class, despite being one of the richest countries in the world. And so, yeah, you guys, you need to read the article. It was very eye-opening for me. I'm not sure that I said to myself, I'm definitely not voting for Hillary Clinton and I'm definitely voting for Bernie Sanders because of it. But I definitely think that I said to myself, well, Hillary Clinton needs to be taken to task for that. And I'm not sure. And maybe she has been. Maybe questions have come up that have taken her to task. I don't know. But she needs to be taken to task for what has happened. I think she has talked about structural inequalities in a lot of ways. But to me, in response to this article, she needs to have a very direct conversation, right? We don't need any indirect conversations or conversations that only happen in black churches or amongst black people or in Harlem, for example, right? We need conversations that you are directly talking about structural inequality on main stages. So, yeah. And I know that she has. I know that she has. But, I mean, really, by direct.
Okay. And so the article that she is actually referencing is an article that Michelle Alexander wrote in The Nation. And I just emailed that to Featherlight Delta and Icy Hot. So you now have that in your email box. And
Thank you.
Yes, I think it'll be a great article to read and just for enlightenment. I love to learn too. I certainly don't know everything. I think we can learn something from each other every day. I certainly learn from all of you on the line, the callers, people that I have conversations with. I may not agree with it, but I may learn something from it, and I definitely appreciate that. So that's an article in The Nation. It's a very long article. Otherwise, I would read some of it. Maybe next week we can take some time and just dissect the article and just read a few pieces and just give out our thoughts on what Michelle Alexander writes in this article, Why Hillary Clinton Doesn't Deserve the Black Vote. That is the title of the article. From the crime bill to welfare reform policies Bill Clinton enacted and Hillary Clinton supported, decimated Black America. That's the name of the article, the title of the article, written by Michelle Alexander in The Nation. So,
well, I'm not trying to take the responsibility away from the Clintons, but I would like to share that in order for us to be decimated, desecrated, and all the other D words, you have to have a Black caucus to help you do that, a congressional Black caucus input. You have to have Black local community leaders to help you do that. And so I think we have to have some responsibility go to some of those individuals as well.
I certainly agree with you. I do.
It's enough blame to go around, as well as those of us nobodies who are in the community that see all of these things going down and around, and we never say anything. We never challenge our local politicians. We never reach out to them and demand what I call some accountability. Not all, but some accountability to their community, because that's why they really are there. But they don't, once they get there, they don't really acknowledge that that's why they're there. What they tell me when I go to them, I am the representative of everybody in this community, not Black folk. Well, needless to say, the Black folk are having trouble. Can you help a sister out?
Can you help a sister out? Can you help a sister out? I agree with
the
that.
The white folks aren't having a lot of trouble, baby.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah.
And also, I want...
Are you not? Are you not part of a community to help everybody?
Like President Obama said, he was not president for the Black people, but for everybody.
Right, exactly. That's their everybody's whole theme once they get into public office.
Mm-hmm.
I'm here for everybody. If I hear another one say it, I'm going to scream and pull out all my little bit of hair I got left.
And what were you about to say, Delta?
Well, I was going back to one of my earlier questions I had posed and a comment, really. And it's not that I'm trying to be hard on the Black boys, because really I have three boys. And the reason I speak and talk the way I do is because the way I was raised, you know, and I always tell you that. My daddy always told us that when you make your bed hard, you have to lie in it. That was just one of his old sayings, he said. And what I mean by that is a lot of times, and I can use my three sons, a lot of times with my three sons,
who was raised in a home where there was no cussing, no arguing, no fussing, anything. But when they got grown, they went and they did things that they knew not to do. And so what I'm saying is, a lot of times these kids got to take responsibility for what they have done. And a lot of times the people in the community have to not run to the kids' defense all the time for some of the things that the kids have done. Some things we do when we know it's unjust, we stand up and we fight. But when we know a child is wrong, we should not stand up for them. And a lot of these kids is doing things that we know is wrong.
Why do they do them though?
Like you said, you raise your children, and you bring in the experience, your life experience from how your father
because
raised
they get
them.
With the wrong crowd.
Do you think it's just the wrong crowd, or is it a whole peer situation? Not just their choices of friends, but the whole kit and caboodle of what's been built. One of the things that's different than when we were raised up is the number of things that children have to contend with being children growing up in these days and age, the teenagers to the young adults, I'm saying. We didn't have the kind of drug infestation in our communities. We didn't have the destruction of the black family that had been torn away, even worse. We had single families, of course, but we didn't have all of the things that they see in their community. It doesn't look like them, and we probably came from two geographic areas, and it may be different, but you had a lot of black businesses back then. You had people that were successful role models, even for the families who had single parents that maybe didn't have a male in the household. It was a much healthier community. And I just think all of that's affected our children, the destruction of the black family, the lack of black businesses that they could see around them and successful black people.
Recreational centers.
Right. All of these extracurricular activities they used to be involved in. And then you put in a whole different peer kind of session, and you take away some powers from the family and you set it out here somewhere else, and the children have more influence from the streets than they do from their actual family. And that's what happened to your family, Dorothy.
I think
the streets are the people. Not even, I don't mean the streets, I shouldn't even say that. I'm gonna take that back. I'm gonna just say peer, period, the whole community that they were in.
Yeah, and just to dovetail that, like, say, for instance, when, my mother's generation and Mother Hattie's and Delta, like, your generation and the generation before you, they may have had mothers and grandmothers that actually stayed there in the home and they didn't work. Yeah. So they had, they had figures there that would discipline them. Like, I didn't go to the daycare center. I went over to my grandmother's house.
Yes.
You know, my aunts were my babysitters. I didn't have, like, strangers babysitting me.
Exactly. All of that is important and relevant.
All of that factors into it.
But y'all going to get mad at me again. But don't you think that we... But don't you think we do this to... a lot of us do this to ourselves? Like,
do what to ourselves?
When we have all these unwed mothers who keep us having these kids.
We do what? Because we don't do that. We don't, like, make ourselves pregnant. So what do you mean when you say when we do this to ourselves? Because I was talking about how
when you say we at home and we had, you know, people to raise us, But what I'm saying is now we have so many teenage mothers who don't have nobody at home. Now we have so many teenagers are having babies, and they are raising themselves. So we got children in the home with no father. And a lot of people want to get away from that and think that don't matter, but it does matter when you constantly have all these kids and no fathers are in the home.
Why? But you had a father in your home, and look where your children went.
Yes, so you weren't an unwed mother, were you?
No, but what I'm saying, I still say, and I'm going to stand behind what I believe, a lot of this comes from some of it comes from peer pressure with other kids, but a lot of it comes from no father being in the home.
Why is
now, a lot of people get offended
mother
when
Dunning,
you say
wait
that.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Why is there no father in the home? Why are there so many unwed mothers?
Because young mothers don't have no one to really stand up and tell them, don't do this, don't do that. You was taught when you came up being pregnant that that was not a good thing. That was not nice for your family. You were shaming your family.
So I got another question for you, another why. You know, I'm an anthropologist, so I always go
okay,
why.
Go ahead.
So why do they not have a mother that's telling them that they can't do that?
Because
they
babies having babies. And
why?
Babies can't raise babies.
Right back, you went right back to the, come on now, don't do that fox talk with me. Why? Mothers, they're in the home to talk to those children, to give them that nurturing and guidance that you and I and Mother Hattie and Feather Light had.
Okay,
why?
Now, because they are out working, but they put themselves in that position.
How do they put themselves in that position?
Because when you constantly have babies and you are not married and
you keep going back to constantly having babies.
Why are they not in the home? You said because they are working. So why are they working? We were working back then. We've been working. African women started stores. So that's where stores come from. African women having markets. So that's a part of society. That was a part of our culture. So why is it now that the mothers are working so much or so many jobs that they're not in
because
the home?
The men are not helping.
Now, Mother Dunning, I have to challenge you on that again because it's because of the again we go back to the structural policies and the system. These mothers are having to work so many jobs because of why? Why are we having to work so many jobs and we're not in the home?
That's my belief. My belief is
I'm asking why are mothers not in the home? Why are mothers working two or three jobs so that they're not in the home to talk to their children? That's my question.
Because they have to go out and work because they
and no fathers are in the home is what you're saying, huh, Dr. Cooper?
No fathers in the home.
Why?
And so
when there's no fathers in the home, a lot of times there's no structure in the home.
So why are there not any fathers in the home? I really want to break this down. So why?
No structure.
You can't say I'm saying there's no fathers in the home because the girls are when they go and get these babies, they not married and they constantly bring these babies. Well, I'm just being honest.
Mother Dunning.
That's the way I see it.
So what you're saying is that teen pregnancy has caused and it contributed greatly based upon what you're seeing greatly as a problem. It's an
enemy.
One of the things that I know of, and I have one niece, and she's done what you're saying, Mother Dunning, but let me tell you, this girl is very smart, and she basically went on to nursing school. She had one child at when she was getting ready to go to off to college. She got pregnant right after she graduated that summer. She could have been headed for medical school. So she got on that treadmill, had that one child. Then she met someone else. Now she's married. She's not married. Then she went on to have another pregnancy with twins. So now she has three children. And she's still going to school and everything. However, this young person had plenty of people around her telling her, please do not have children out of wedlock. Please be married and put have this individual, same father, so that you can have support. To this day, they are not married. There are four children, and she's had role models around her all her life. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, I had her for a couple of years and was going to adopt her when she was very little. But the situation is, this young lady is there because of, we can't figure it out in my family. I got one of those children like that. That you're talking about, four children, not married, but they are taken care of because she's a nurse, she's a one job, and but the man that she's with does not necessarily carry that same value. He has, I think, probably seven or eight children by three different women, or maybe four.
There you go, Miss Hattie. You just answered my question.
Well, I'm saying I have one, but all of the why they're like that doesn't necessarily match up with what your thoughts are on it, but I have one of those in my family. She's in her 30s now, so I don't know.
See, what I'm saying, I'm not saying it in a bad way, but what I'm saying is we got to take responsibility, and I'm talking about the life I live and the life that surround me, and what we are talking to my nieces, my nephews. If you want better, you cannot pile yourself up with a bunch of kids.
Okay, and so just to your point, because we just have a short time. Just to your point, so like you said, you and your family are talking to your nieces and nephews and grandchildren about not doing that. So could we say that possibly these girls that we see that have all of these children, maybe perhaps because drugs were dumped in our communities, that their parents were on drugs, for whatever reason they got on the drugs, we're not judging that, but for whatever reason they got on the drugs, same reason why people overeat, overshop, overspend, oversex themselves, whatever. All of it is pretty much the same. It's an addiction. It comes from an internal problem. So could we say that these girls are having these babies because maybe they didn't have a family member like yourself that was there to talk to them?
And give them my daddy didn't. My daddy didn't play that.
Well, but okay, you have them.
We're not talking about your family.
Everybody didn't have your dad and mother, Donna. That's what we're saying. So could it possibly be that these girls and boys, you got to have a man to have that egg fertilized. So could it possibly be that these people are having these children like this because they did not have a mother, Donna, and mother, Donna's daddy there to share their knowledge? Is that fair enough?
Well, that's a fair question that you absolutely correct. But this is what I'm saying. Now, I got boys. I got three boys. I got two boys. They got three baby mamas. And I have tried to talk to my boys. And if I could have, and if they had let me, I would have had them fix myself.
Okay, but what we're talking about, you said that these girls, and they're having all of these babies, and the boys having the babies with them and all of that. Why is it like that? What caused that? There are a number of factors that caused that. We could do a whole week's worth of shows, probably a whole month worth of shows.
Well, we need to do shows on that. We need to try to get some young girls in. And this is what I'm saying here. Why do they keep it going? This is, see, I can't fathom this. I can't fathom you keep it going down the same road.
But that's what we're trying to share right here, Mother Donna. You can't fathom it because you had a daddy and a mama that was there to talk to you. Some of these children did not.
Right.
They did not. So that's the point that we're trying to make. For whatever reason, they did not have somebody there to lay down those instructions. So we can't sit here and point a finger and degrade them and berate them because of the choices they made when they didn't have nobody to give them clarity on life. They didn't have
exactly
nobody telling them things about, you shouldn't go out here and just have sex with somebody because you're going to have a baby and you're 14 years old. Or maybe they did and they just still went and did something different like your boys did.
Okay. That is correct. But let me ask you this then. Can I ask a question before we go right quick?
Mm-hmm.
Why? This is what I can't understand. Now, I can understand if you have one mistake. But when you have six, seven, eight mistakes.
That's what we keep saying, Mother Donna. You keep going back to that.
But what I'm saying,
If they don't know, this Mother Donna, if they don't, like she said, if they don't know, they just don't know. It don't matter if it's one child, two, or ten. If they don't get it, like, I can't understand why you don't get it about this whole voting. I don't understand why you don't get it about a whole lot of things. But it's just because of your life experience is different from mine.
Right.
So I can't sit here and say, oh, she is really crazy for thinking like that. I can't say that. I can't say Mother Dunham is so wrong for thinking like that. Why she keeps saying that? Why she vote for Trump? I can't say that. My experience is different from yours. I think it's, and honestly, no offense, and we're going to have to close some. No offense, I can't understand for the life of me why you would believe somebody to sit here and tell you go and vote for Trump and then you go and vote for him. To me, that's just as crazy as you talking about these children that keep having these babies. I don't understand it. Just like you don't understand it. But we have different life experiences.
And different ways of thinking.
I'm going to tell you, I look at it,
be open to other people's views. We have to be open and not so judgmental and have an idea of other people's backgrounds. Your background is totally different from someone else's. It's totally different from Black Rose's background. So you see things from a totally different perspective. You're looking at a totally different telescope from the way she's looking at it.
Yeah.
And like she just said, it would be wrong for her to say you're stupid or you're ignorant or you just keep putting this on yourself. It's just your background is different from hers.
Because I could sit here and say, now, as long as we've been having this radio show 3 years, you ought to be a little bit more savvy and acute in terms of your politics. But you're not. No matter what we say, you still have that same view, right? You still have that same view. So that's the same thing as these children. And at least we are sharing information with each other. Maybe they didn't have nobody to share any information to give them another way to think about things. That's all we see.
Right. And, you know, another perspective is totally different from what you guys are saying. Scientifically speaking, biologically, this may be, I keep saying this one too, I used to think of it in a different way, but this may be a way that we are going to be, continue to be as a race.
That's right.
You know, we don't know what's going on a lot of levels with some of the decisions that the young children are making. And so let's say, for instance, you know, the people say, well, they're generating more and more of those kinds. Well, some of those, they're going to make it.
even though they'll come out of poverty, even though they'll come out of whatever situation. You might, they might be, conceiving the next, Dr. Martin Luther King, or the next, W. Du Bois, the next Booker T. Washington. You see?
Malcolm X.
Malcolm X, whomever.
Had it, the next mother had it, the next mother done it, the next life. It could be anybody. And let me just say this, and then we need to go ahead on and close out because we're over time.
Next Fannie Lou Hamer.
Exactly. I have an aunt that has 6 children, and she's never been super rich. But you know what she said while she had those children? She said, because the Bible says, be fruitful and multiply.
And multiply. That's another one. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Uh-huh. So maybe these girls and boys are following what the Bible tells them to do. Be fruitful.
Right.
And maybe they may interpret that as being fruitful and multiply by having babies. You have some people that interpret that as being be fruitful and multiply your money. People, they interpret the Bible verses in so many different ways. So,
sure,
I mean, that's what my aunt said. And I've heard other people say that. Why they
have too.
Especially when you get to these old-time religions, people that sent to this old-time religion, they believe in having those children. Hell, my grandmama had 6 children. So
well, hold up. The ones in our grandparents.
A bunch of children.
Yeah, ones even in our grandparents' age, they had 15 and 16,
well,
and probably you too, Mother Dunning, but in yours. But
her mom had 12 children.
Right,
her
and so what I'm saying, this one lady told me once that she said,
my mama
she
had
said,
18.
That's what I thought. And so what I'm saying is, these people also would tell you, they said that's why you have a lot of health problems with the women now, because they're not using their bodies the way it's supposed to be used. Which is
hello.
Have reproduction and all of this. It's a way of cleansing your body and everything. And I had a woman to tell me that, and she had about 18 to 20 children, and she lived a long, long time. She was over 100. Some she said that was the secret to her.
And I believe.
Yep.
I believe it.
I believe it.
You got to
have babies. You got to have babies.
You're supposed to do that.
That's right.
How are we going to continue our race?
Your mother brought in 18 beautiful children. 18
from the same man. From the same man.
And that's a beautiful thing. That's a beautiful thing. And if these children want to go out here and have some babies, then let them have some babies. Because that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to, if we weren't supposed to have anything, we wouldn't have these reproductive organs. So we need to pick back up on this, because this was great. I really thank y'all. I love everybody's commentary. Thank you so much. Thank you, Scotty. Thank you, Azazola. Thank you, Delta. Thank you, Mother Hattie, King B, and listeners and callers. And we'll be back on Friday.